This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to Galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, and San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
These guys recorded an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody was late.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 14 of Tatooine Sons. This week, we'll see if we can pick our jaws up off the floor long enough to talk about the latest episodes of Star Wars Rebels. Next, we'll share our thoughts on comments by Dave Filoni that suggest a new animated series will be announced soon. Could that be Star Wars Resistance? And finally, is Disney making plans to move Solo, a Star Wars story, up to May the 4th? The future, by its nature, can be changed. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans! This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A cheer to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out on some good TV content.
Whoa, yeah, amazing TV content right now.
It's pretty good. And of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
What's up, guys? This is the second week in a row we've gone live.
Yeah.
We have already been forced. We're going to have to re-record our Star Wars Commonwealth podcast intro that you do. I just noticed something that's really important on there. You've got a big announcement that we're supposed to be making.
What is it?
So we have a new podcast as part of the Commonwealth. We're no longer the new kids on the block, guys. You guys, I didn't even know this because you're not on social media and stuff like that. So 12 Parsecs podcast has just joined the Commonwealth. It's an awesome, really well done podcast that lasts about 5 minutes.
Huh.
It's commentary. So we'll talk about our other podcast in a second. It's more commentary on a specific topic related to Star Wars. But it happens. It's a fast podcast. It records every other day or so. Tries to at least. And so if you're wanting to get like little mini hits of Star Wars commentary and thoughts throughout the weeks, 12 Parsecs podcast is the podcast for you. So let's welcome them to the Commonwealth. Awesome. All right. We've also got some other people that we have to thank. We have some significant changes on our Patreon page, and the result of that has been some new patrons for Tatooine Sons on our Patreon page. So the first new one, I'm pulling up the list right now because I accidentally closed out that window. I apologize. I was trying to...
He wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready.
We forgive you.
I hope so. All right. So the first person that we want to thank is John Gregory Karst. John Gregory signed up at the Jedi Council level. So Jedi Council level is where things become like real when it comes to our Patreon page, like a serious thing. It's a $25 a month pledge to help fund Tatooine Sons and keep our content going. But they also get to be a part of crafting the future of Tatooine Sons, helping us with show ideas, different events that we're going to have, the direction that we're going with the podcast. If you're on Jedi Council, then you've got a voice that's pretty significant in that. So John Gregory Karst, thank you for that. We also have Mr. Positivity himself. We've talked about him a ton. He started off as like a $1 a month pledge supporter on Patreon a couple months ago. And then he increased it to like $5, and then he increased it to like $7. And then within like 3 minutes of us adding this Jedi Council $25 a month pledge level, he jumped all over it. And he's also on the Jedi Council. So we want to give you guys a big shout out. Thanks for doing that as well. And then we've got another new Patreon supporter, Megan Camp. That's your Twitter sister. They think that's weird. They don't understand it, but Megan knows it. She's she's down in Georgia, so she's a Southern girl, which makes Christy, my wife, Sam and Nate's mom, really happy because she's a good Southern girl like Christy is, and she's from Georgia like Christy's family is, and she loves Star Wars, so that makes us like her a lot. But she also loves musicals. Which
makes mom happy.
Makes mom pretty happy. So I said, you know, you should have been a part of our family. And she said that she wanted to be. And so we Twitter adopted her. And so she's a part of the family. And then she signed up at the Jedi Knight level, which is a $10 a month pledge support level. And she gets to be a part of some real fun things with the podcast as well. Thank you guys so much, Megan, for being a Patreon supporter. All right, and then we had two others that actually increased their giving on Patreon. They were existing Patreon supporters, but Peter Ross and Patrick Loghead, you guys increased your support from $2 a month up to $5 a month, which is actually our Jedi. Actually, wait a second. Megan is not a Jedi Knight. I forgot. She's a Jedi Master. I was looking at the wrong line. And so there's lots of different perks with her. But Peter and Patrick, you guys are Jedi Knights. And so you get to be a part of what we're doing on that as well. So thank you guys. All right. So that is, let's see, we got a chat going on here. Who's in the chat? Hey, Nathan. Welcome, Nathan Allen. I'm just going to say something really quick. Welcome. All right. So we've got a poll that we need to talk about. And who introduces our poll every week now?
Turbis.
All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week. It has been confirmed. This kind of plays into what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder if you did that on purpose.
Well, I didn't, but, you know, when you have more information come out during the week after you set up your poll, then sometimes things like this happen. So podcast poll of the week, it has been confirmed that Lucasfilm and Disney have trademarked the name Star Wars Resistance. So what do you think that this will develop into? So we had four different choices. We had other, comment below, which we like to throw that on there. It gives people a chance to get their word out. We've got lots of game apps and things like that as being a possibility for that. 7% of you guys voted other, comment below, and said most of you guys did say games at some point, which is cool. 7% of you also tying with our other comment below thought it was a film or a film series. That's getting ready to come out. Maybe it's the Benioff and Weiss Game of Thrones guys or something like that. 27% of you said that it would be a live-action TV series. And we know that they're coming out with one in 2019 on the Disney streaming service.
Star Wars Underworld, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. We guys,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would like that.
But. Yeah. And then 58% of you, by far the largest winner, like it wasn't even close. You voted that it was an animated series.
Ooh.
We might have something that we need to talk about a little bit later when it comes to that. So we will do that in a little bit. All right. I think that's pretty much it. What was your week?
Pleasantries are almost out of the way.
Yeah, let's like jump right in because there's like a lot to talk about with this next topic. Who's introducing this next one?
That would be Nathan.
Nathan, all right. Nathan, you are going to be talking about, I don't know, this little, not much happened in Star Wars this week except for like the entire universal paradigm of Star Wars was turned on its head.
So we're going to be talking about the new Star Wars Resistance and what
You're off.
Whoa.
First topic. That was the poll result.
We're talking all about right. Star Wars Rebels.
Well, let's go back. Rewind. So anyway, rewind. The entire paradigm of Star Wars was turned on its head this week.
Star Wars Rebels Season 4, Episodes 13 and 14.
Wow, you even got it down to the episodes.
Yeah.
See, I made up for my mistakes.
You did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's almost like you time traveled.
I did.
Oh.
Like you went back in time and corrected a mistake.
I meant to mess up.
What?
So.
Can I talk about my theory finally?
Which theory are we talking? Are we talking about Rebels if you talk about your theory?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what happened in the show.
We gotta go through it, and it's just gotta happen naturally.
All you gotta do is act naturally. All right, so Reb. Yeah, that was a little Dwight Yoakam for all of you out there in podcast land. Dwight Yoakam. Yeah, he's a country singer that was huge in the 80s, and that was one of his biggest hits.
Okay.
Yeah, that was awesome. I threw out some Dwight Yoakam on the middle of the Star Wars podcast this week. And I sang, for all of you that didn't know I can sing. So you want me to sing the whole verse? I'll sing the whole chorus.
You can't.
They're going to put me in the movies. All right, anyway, all right, we should probably move on.
Here we go.
We're going to see our listenership go down dramatically. All right, so the first episode of this last week. Okay, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, we should be very, very careful to make it clear that everything that's going to happen probably for the rest of the show is going to have spoilers in it. All right, so there's your spoiler alert. Let's move forward and talk about this Rebels episode. First episode was episode, was it 13?
13,
yes. Let's go with that.
And it was called Wolves and a Door. What did you guys think about the title of that episode?
That's apropos.
Why was that apropos?
Well, the wolves were the door.
If you saw the wolves episode, were the door. That's right.
If you saw the episode, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really have a better name than that.
You like that name? Beaming.
It worked. It kind of was confusing at the beginning when you didn't watch the episode, but when you watched the episode, it made sense.
All came together.
Yep. So, all right. So, we're going to use the StarWars.com ranking Rebels 5 highlights, ranking Rebels 5 highlights from a Wolves in a Door article to talk about both of these episodes. It'll keep us focused on certain things that Star Wars thinks is important.
Well, because
we could speculate like crazy, and we're going to give you the chance to do that in a few minutes, BB Nate. You have a theory that you want to share, but we're not going to share that until we've gone through what Star Wars itself says is important about these two episodes. Because generally speaking, when Star Wars says it's important, it is.
Right.
And when they don't say it's important, it probably isn't. So if you come up with like theories that say that a Conbor on the shoulder of Sabine means that she's going to die in an episode and become the Conbor in that episode, but there's nothing that comes out from Star Wars that actually confirms that that's a possibility or even alludes to the shoulder piece, then it's probably a crazy theory. What were you thinking? Nobody's ever done that.
No. Definitely not.
That's not how the Force works.
Especially not on this show.
It was an awesome podcast, though.
It was.
True.
And it's been our highest listened to podcast in the history of the show. Like, I think the last time I checked, we were at 700 downloads of the podcast.
Wow.
It was unreal.
All right, so should we just throw out...
So we just make up crazy stuff? Because that's what most of the YouTubers do, right?
Yeah. So I think Star Wars Resistance...
I mean, I can think of a certain...
I'm just going to do a quick theory real quick. Star Wars Resistance.
No, we're not talking about Star Wars
Resistance. No. Just a quick crazy theory to throw out there. For that show, it's going to be in the sequel trilogy and everything, but Darth Vader's coming out.
I think it's going to be a show, a science TV show all about physics. Star Wars Resistance. Get that?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah, sorry about that, Luke. All right. All right, so.
Sense for like electrical
stuff. Yeah, we're going to get into it. All right. Loaf Wolf Travel Partners. If you have to travel a long distance, this is the way to go. It's fast, it's convenient, and you even get Force memories as in-trip entertainment. I have to give a special mention to Chopper's travel accommodations and the little whoop, whoop, whoop he does in time to the music. What do you guys think about the Loaf Wolf scenes where they turn into the portal and it becomes a portal into this world between worlds that happens?
He's talking about the part where they're just like,
That's right. They're riding on them.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry, that was a big time spoiler.
This is only just for Wolves in a Door.
Right, and then we're going to talk about the next one in a second.
Okay,
we just said.
I thought you
pay attention. All right.
What?
It's okay, Nate. You know you don't really listen to me when I tell you stuff.
No, I was listening to you to make sure that. And you said, well, you exist.
We're going to. See this episode right here? There we go. All right. Loaf Wolf Travel Partners. So what did you think about them riding to the Jedi Temple on the backs of the Loaf Wolves? That was kind of a cool scene.
Weird.
They didn't even really
Well, they did that earlier in the series.
I mean, it's sort of like...
In the season. When Sabine got hurt.
Yeah. No, they had done that with the wolves, but the power's weird. But then again, it's sort of like those whale things.
Yeah, there's like a big like communal... Ezra being able to commune with animals.
Yeah, they've been throwing that around the whole series. But I'm just talking about the powers that the wolves exhibited. I mean, it's not...
Why? Hi, Jim! Watching us on Facebook Live. Sorry. Anyway.
Anyway. I mean, there was those whales that that really went through hyperspace. So it's sort of like the wolves in a way. So it's not like we haven't seen something like that.
No, it was cool.
I thought it was awesome. And then the memories that they got, those weird little tidbits, that was kind of cool. Yeah.
That's sad.
Okay. So now, that was right. That was like sort of that weird hyperspace thing.
It was like, it went through the whole like series. All
right, I'm going to have a confession to make.
Oh, no.
We watched Wolves in the Door one time this week when we were originally watching the two episodes, right?
Right.
We've watched the World Between Worlds episodes three times.
Yep.
That one's the big one. So if I forget things that have happened in the first of these two episodes, forgive me on that. I'm old. Okay. Lope Wolf Travel Partners. Right. Okay.
Complain about us calling you old and then you call yourself old.
There's a difference when you call yourself old than when your kids call you old. So, all right. The Empire Excavation. Point two. Dave Filoni was clearly inspired by the Raiders of the Lost Ark with this scene, and I loved it. Ezra and Sabine's undercover skills may need a little work. Yeah, they got caught really quick on that. And Sabine may need to brush up on her Imperial rules and regulations. She made up stuff, if you guys don't know that. But they did a great job when you consider how little time they had to plan all of this, which was like none. So the organization and the dig and the focus on the mystical aspects of the temple are also a nice connection to the Indiana Jones stories. In this case, I think that makes Sabine Indy. How about you? Hi. BB Nate? What'd you guys think about the idea that sort of like the little nod to Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I hadn't thought of that. That's cool.
Yeah, man. A lot of people are talking about that right now.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that makes sense. I think that's awesome.
We're gonna watch that.
It's a Lucasfilm show.
Yeah, maybe they really are connected.
Well, what's the joke that's out there? BB Nate, you remember the joke?
Yeah, it's the Han Solo when he's frozen in carbonite is having a dream, and that's all... The whole Indiana Jones trilogy.
Yeah, so the Indiana Jones movies are actually Han Solo's dreams while frozen in carbonite.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a cool idea. Hieroglyphs of R2-D2.
So if you're going to rank in order, like chronological order, the Star Wars movies, and you're going to insert those as dreams, so I guess that's between 5 and 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to watch all of the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. Well, maybe not the weird Crystal Skull one.
That one was weird. And there's a new one coming out with like 78-year-old Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Crystal Skull one because it had aliens and stuff.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh. Maybe those are like, oh man, if they had like any kind of an alien in the Star Wars universe that looks like the aliens from the Kingdom of Crystal Skulls, do you realize how much fandom would like explode on it at that point?
Implode.
Yeah, implode.
All right. Let's move on away from Indiana Jones.
Master and Servant, point number three. Ian McDiarmid. Woo! Ian McDiarmid returns as the Emperor, and his scene with Minister Hayden, voiced by the legendary Malcolm McDowell. Malcolm McDowell has been in Star Trek. But he's a great actor. Anyway, gave me chills. As the action unfolds, we realize the ripples caused by the death of Kanan Jarrus. The Emperor himself says it's caused a great disturbance in the Force. When he said that line, what movie is that in? There's been a disturbance in the Force.
Five.
I think it's five, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I've got to get this right.
And it has altered the fate of Lothal. The fact that both the temple contents and Kanan's death seems to unsettle the Emperor is enough to let us know how important he thinks this project is. What did you think about the fact that we found out that the Temple of Lothal excavation was the Emperor's pet project? Samuel LeHut, what did you think about that?
It means he doesn't really care about the Death Star at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's not really focused.
Because they talked about that in
the previous episode.
Yeah, where he was talking, where Tarkin was talking to Thrawn about how there's Krennic's little thing that there is just too much trouble and not worth it,
costing too much money.
So we should put all of our effort on either the TIE Defender thing or, apparently in this case, Emperor's little thing.
Yeah.
They're not even worried about the Death Star.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Death Star is like the big thing in our world until they get...
Right.
Star Wars Rebels is really changing Star Wars, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No one gives it enough credit.
Clone Wars didn't change it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. It kind of helped us understand how Anakin went from 2 to 3 and the idea of him mistrusting the Jedi.
So you mean the Mortis arc just in general?
The Mortis arc, which we're learning about. Oh. Which we'll talk about that next. It's like you saw the image on the screen there, BB Nate.
No.
Hello.
Hi.
Cheapo.
What's up, Cheapo? All right. To decode the puzzle and the key. To decode a message, you need the right key. The stone the Lothwolves gave Ezra is the key to the mural. and Sabine's artistic knowledge and code-breaking abilities provide the answers both need. Watching these two work together using all the skills we've seen them hone over the last four seasons was a joy to watch. What do you think about the idea that Ezra and Sabine are working together and helping them each other unlock the secret of the temple, the tablet stone, and the Mortis mural at Lothal? What did you think about that, BB Nate?
It's just so nice. Like, I loved how they brought the Mortis back in, because that was my favorite arc in the Clone Wars series. And then,
you know, that's the weirdest arc in the Clone Wars series,
and that's why it makes it so good. Because
it's better than that droids arc.
Yeah, the droids arc was not good.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Dave.
I mean, the comic was
and great. Any of the Jar Jar Binks episodes.
Oh, yes.
Anyway. All right, but we're off topic again. Right. So you liked this. You liked the idea.
Yeah, I did like the idea.
What did you think about Sabine and Ezra working together on this and sort of how they kind of came together for this one in a real special way, I thought?
Yeah, it's different than anything we've seen in previous episodes. I mean, they've kind of worked together, but this time they were, like, alone, and it was, like, pretty much all up to them to work it out, and they just, like, clicked super well, I thought.
Yeah.
And I like
there's a trust between those two that's really strong, you know. We've had Reylo in the movies,
yeah,
right? And we've had Kanera in Rebels,
yeah.
And now
are we going to have
Sebezra?
Sebezra. No.
Esbeen.
Esbeen.
Esbeen. I think they're calling it. No, seriously, it's a thing, guys. I've seen it on Twitter the last week.
Why didn't they do Sebezra?
Sebezra? It sounds weird.
No,
Esbeen. I like it. Because
there's not enough Sabine, but. Mm-hmm.
You gotta have more Ezra. Thanks. All right. The mural in motion, number five. One of the most beautiful things about Rebels is that it's always pushing the boundaries of animation and story. We were talking about that
even this morning
as we were watching the latest episode again. The show has a particular animation style, and seeing the mural come to life was another look at how far the show has come since its first episode. The painting shift and change, the turns of the daughter's head, the movement of the father's hand, the Loth wolves literally running out of the mural to guide Ezra to the gateway. All of it was masterfully done and breathtaking to watch. What did you think about that whole aspect of it, Samuel Lahead?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I can't really explain, like, put it in words, but it was really cool to see the mural come to life like that, because We haven't seen something like that in all of Star Wars. I mean, I can't recall anything. There may have been something in one obscure Clone Wars episode. But to see a painting move like that, phenomenal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I mean, Rebels has always done so good at animation. They should win an award.
It's funny because I've heard a couple people in the last week talk about they don't like the style of Rebels when it comes to the animation, but... If you understand what's going on with the animation, it really is pretty impressive.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. BB Nate, what did you think about the wolf's door element?
Wolves and a door. I thought it was cool because we've never seen painting move, mm-hmm. let alone in an animation. And it was just cool to see how Dave Filoni is just a mastermind.
Yeah.
And
great animator and storyteller.
And that scene... with the wolves in the circle that becomes the portal. If you're a collector of Star Wars Topps trading cards, both physical or the digital app version, then you've seen that before.
Yeah.
Makes me want to download that app and start again.
I still have it. I haven't used that app in a long time.
I haven't used it because I don't know what my account
is. Maybe we should do that with you guys. But anyway, all right. We'll talk about that in a few seconds. Yep, we'll do that. Honorable mention, Kanan's hand on Hera's shoulder as she considers letting Ezra and Sabine keep trying to get into the temple. It was a quiet, simple, but powerful moment, and one Kanera, Kanan Hera, loved it, story fans, will likely find themselves moved by. What did you think about that moment there, Samuel the Hutt?
A little weird.
Why do you think that was weird?
I mean, it was cool, but... I think it could be taken as he's a Force ghost.
I thought it was saying he was a Force ghost.
I liked it. I thought it was cool, but I don't think they were going with the Force ghost route. I think it was just, you know, Hera's fond memory of him.
What about you, BB Nate?
I thought it was pretty cool because it was just her feeling like she had Kanan with her again after. And she was the one that I think took Kanan's death the hardest.
Until someone tells me differently, I'm going to assume that that's a Force ghost. He may not be as strong in being able to do that.
You said yourself that Star Wars deems it important, right? But they haven't said anything about it being a Force ghost.
Well, I can still dream. All right. That's the appetizer to our Star Wars Rebels feast.
Right. That was nothing.
That was the episode that, you know, we'll click that tab and close it because we need to talk about this next one. Because the next episode, A World Between Worlds, was probably the most
impactful episode.
Bizarre episode as well of Star Wars Rebels ever. And it changed history when it comes to Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah. Not Star Wars Rebels. Star Wars. Yeah, ever.
That's right.
All of it.
Okay. Let's talk about the first element, Through the Portal.
We're just jumping right in.
Might as well. I have to start with Ezra's journey through the portal. The voices here, The voices he hears span generations of Star Wars stories, and we discover his role in the fate of Ahsoka Tano back at the Sith Temple on Malachor. Still hurting over Kanan's death, his next thought is to save his master. But it's Ahsoka who saves Ezra as she reminds him that she knows exactly how he feels. If anyone can understand the need to let a master go, it's Ahsoka Tano. Is this your theory?
Yeah, sort of.
All right, so let's talk about it. What did you think about the portal? He goes in there, he hears all these voices from Star Wars history.
This whole thing, and then
Star Wars, you got all these different voices from history. Who are some of the voices that we hear? We have your Obi-Wan, Yoda, Rey,
Jin, Kylo, Maz,
Obi-Wan, Kanan.
Did we say Leia?
We have Kanan. I think we have Leia, yeah.
Leia.
You have young Obi-Wan and old Obi-Wan.
Did we say Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon.
And Obi-Wan at the end.
Yeah, you hear all of these voices. We'll talk about that in a minute. All of these voices. And then suddenly he sees the Convor. Let's see. Are we going to talk about the Convor here?
Okay.
I don't see the Convor. Okay, so he sees the Convor, the owl, and his, you know, that's from the trailer. We saw that in the mid-season trailer. And he acknowledges that he recognizes this Convor.
Before we move on, can we just talk about the significance of this place?
Go for it.
It's literally a path to any point in Star Wars. From prequel trilogy to sequel trilogy. I mean, and beyond, but they didn't go that far because they obviously can't. But, I mean, think about that. He could have done anything. Like, this place connects literally all of Star Wars.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing with that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I've heard a lot in the last few days is that this explains the entire Force time sequence in The Last Jedi. You guys get that? Force time? Face time? Force time? The scenes between Kylo and Rey and how they're able to communicate. They're communicating through this world between worlds. They're using that.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes perfect sense. Yeah, no.
You don't have to travel through time. You just need to travel through space at that point.
And that's how they're using that force. But
it's
anyway,
like a cell tower.
So he gets in there. They see the Convor. The Convor leads him to a holocron. Hey, Quentin, what's up, dude? If you're on listening to the podcast, we are also streaming this on Facebook live, and people are commenting on there as well. So we're saying hello to them. But anyway, they go to this looking, it looks like the holocron that Ezra has had. The Sith holocron that he's had over the past few seasons. And he looks through this, the Convor leads him to it, and he looks through it, and what do we see, BB-8?
Ahsoka and Darth Vader fighting.
From the Twilight of the Apprentice episodes at the end of season 2.
Yep.
That was like the, up until this season, the most talked about couple of episodes. Absolutely. In Rebels history. And the question was, did Ahsoka die? And so we're sitting there and we're watching. We watch what happens from a different perspective at the end of that season 2 finale. And we see Ahsoka shove, using the force push Ezra out of the way as the temple is closing on Malachor. And then we see things that we've never seen before in that episode, because we see the conclusion of the battle between Darth Vader and Ahsoka. Now, if you're listening to this podcast or watching us on Facebook Live, then you probably are aware that Anakin Skywalker was the Jedi Master for Ahsoka Tano in the Clone Wars. So when she's battling Darth Vader in Malachor and Twilight of the Apprentice, she's actually battling her master with this. And it's a pretty intense sequence. What happens at the point where it's very clear that Darth Vader is about to kill Ahsoka Tano? Anakin is about to kill Ahsoka. What happens in this scene?
Ezra reaches through the portal and pulls her out just in time before like everything explodes.
Yeah, that was nuts. Like that. So now Ahsoka has gone through time into this world between worlds, and she's there with Ezra, and they both are sort of knocked off balance, like almost unconscious.
Yeah, from the
explosion. For a second. And they begin, then they wake up, and Ahsoka's totally confused because Ezra looks different. Why would Ezra look different?
Well, he doesn't have hair.
He's cut his hair. He's about 2 years older.
Yeah.
Things are very different for her. So she's trying to figure out what's going on, and she realizes that Ezra has just saved her life from Darth Vader with that. And what does BB Nate, what does Ezra realize can happen now that he's saved Ahsoka?
He can save his master.
So he begins to search through, right? And he goes and he finds another portal, another entrance, which is to the moment where Ezra is sacrificing himself for the crew of the Ghost. Kanan, excuse me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Kanan is sacrificing himself for the crew of the Ghost. That happened in the last two episodes.
Right.
With it. And he's got a decision to make. Samuel Lahut, what's the decision?
Whether he's to save his master or not.
So what does Ahsoka say to him during this process?
That he, Kanan sacrificed himself to save Ezra.
And the crew of the Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you were to save Kanan, then you'd all die.
Right. So, Kanan sacrificed himself to save all of you. If you save Kanan now, his sacrifice doesn't take place, and all of the entire crew of the Ghost is going to be killed. And what does Ezra call that?
The last lesson.
So he's been learning lessons. It's interesting because I was thinking about this the other day. Kanan has been teaching him lessons. Darth Maul was teaching him lessons. These were all lessons that were going on. The last lesson that he learns is what, Samuel Lahut? Oh, sorry. Samuel was yawning. It's early still.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice is the final lesson. It's a really interesting concept. Just like stepping outside of Star Wars for a second. The dad moment. Yeah. We need to have some kind of a sound effect that lets us know that. Ezra's learned that there are times in life where you have to give up of yourself for others.
Right.
And he learns that from Kanan in this sequence. And that's the last lesson that Kanan taught him. It's really an interesting idea. This idea of self-sacrifice is the last lesson that he learned from his master.
Yeah.
With that. It's especially interesting in the light of Ahsoka being there and what had happened between Ahsoka and Darth Vader earlier in the episode, which we saw where Darth Vader was the master for Ahsoka, mm-hmm. or Anakin was, and there was a different type of lesson that was being learned with that, and that's betrayal in a lot of ways. Yeah, with it. It was really interesting. So, all right.
Nathan is busting.
Nathan, go for it. All right. Star Wars fans around the world, as you're listening to this podcast, I have a big feeling that Nathan is going to share his theory here.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Go for it.
So, do we know if Ezra is more powerful in the Force than Kanan?
No.
But throughout the series, it seems like that. He is. He's just not trained in it.
No, it's not that. He's more powerful in the Force in like maybe one aspect, which is that and his connection to animals. But I don't think he's overall stronger in the Force than Kylo.
Than Kylo.
Kylo. We're getting.
Wait.
Wow. We just bridged all the way to the sequel trilogy.
You know. No, Kanan.
It could happen. You never. Yeah. Know. Maybe.
DJ.
All right. So, what's your theory, BB-8? Well,
we can all agree that Ezra is equal.
He's very powerful. He just opened this portal, and if you remember, I don't know if we're going to talk about this later, but if you remember, it's clear that the Emperor doesn't have the ability to open this portal. yet, yet Ezra does.
Yeah.
And that's actually said in this episode.
So let's just say that Ezra has the same amount of power as Kanan. So he can do everything that Kanan can.
Okay, fair enough.
So Kanan sacrificed himself, but how could they have not? If he didn't push the shuttle away, would they have died?
Yes, they would have been.
Why couldn't Ezra go in, push Hera onto the shuttle, and the shuttle away, then grab Kanan?
Because that would have changed the entire episode.
Yeah,
there would have been. Yeah.
Well, he could have. There's no way that he couldn't have done that.
No. Because then he would have died.
No, he wouldn't. Kanan would still be pushing the fire away.
But Ezra would still be caught in the explosion when he pulled Kanan out of the way.
No.
Like, as soon as he pulled Kanan out of the way, the explosion would overtake him.
No, because Kanan would still be pushing the force. No. Because then Ezra probably could have told Kanan to keep pushing the force.
The fire
away. With the force, and then pull
him. As soon as you pull Kanan...
No, he can still do it.
As soon as you pull Kanan, the explosion happens.
Yeah, I don't think that it would work. I mean, I like the idea of it, but it's not the whole point. The whole point that... The purpose of the story that Dave Filoni is telling in these episodes is sacrifice.
Right.
And that sometimes that sacrifice can't be undone with this. So... you know, we'll have to see. Who knows what could happen in the next episodes with that. All right, let's talk about the second section. Sabine versus the Minister, voiced by the legendary Malcolm McDowell. Minister Hayden thinks calling Sabine Lady Wren and appealing to her artistic sensibilities will get her to reveal the way into the Jedi Temple. As their interactions continue, and even when he threatens her with violence, Hayden believes... It gets kind of dark in that scene. Hayden believes he's got her right where he wants her. Instead, we learn that Sabine's playing him, and in the end, he's the one that gives her the key to closing the gateway. So, Samuel, what do you think about that whole interaction between Sabine and the Minister?
I mean, it was pretty secondary. I mean, obviously, because it was about the world between worlds. But, I mean, what we saw was cool, because it was like Sherlock and Moriarty, but with art, in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool to see how they analyzed it and pointed out aspects that neither of them understood or neither of us, any of us understood. It was a pretty cool interaction.
It was.
I mean, the character of the Minister was... he's okay. They obviously put him in just for that episode, but...
Well, originally he was going to be one of the Emperor's lackeys that's in all the movies and everything else. One of the Emperor's main... like entourage that follows him all throughout the prequels and the sequels.
Really?
With it, and they patterned him after that, but then they decided at the last minute to change him to a different character. So, interestingly enough. What did you think about that whole sequence, Sam? Nathan?
I agree with Sam. It was kind of Sherlock Moriarty art type of thing, and then he threatened her with violence.
And he hits her in the head with a shock trooper? Okay.
And then she seems like she's still like really into helping him then, but she is still playing him.
Oh yeah, well she's got to keep up the facade. I think that was the right word. I'm always nervous when I use big words like that.
I can't even spell some of those words that you use. So anyway,
nor can I. I can't spell regular words. I can't spell regular. I can't spell spell.
I can't spell regular words. All right. It's point number three, the Emperor. Talk about the original... What?
That name right there just works.
Yep.
You just need to say the Emperor.
The Emperor. Talk about the original Big Bad. The Emperor finally lays eyes on Ezra Bridger, and once you're in his sights, it's hard to go back to relative obscurity. By opening and the gateway to the temple, Ezra, it's clear Ezra is the one that opens it according to both the episode and this article. Nathan, you're chatting with us well on Spreaker. Thank you for that. But I'm pretty confident that it was Ezra that opens the portal with that. Ezra has given the Emperor access to untold knowledge as well as the past and the future. His cruelty as he mocks Ezra's master as both the Padawan and Ahsoka is something we've seen before. It's only by their combined efforts that Ahsoka and Ezra get away. Samuel the Hutt, what did you think about the whole interaction with Sheev in this episode.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was cool. He was doing that weird fire thing, fire-like enchantment stuff that he did in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that was very Clone Wars-esque, which just makes sense, Dave Filoni.
So. We're going to go back to the amazing animation style. Backtrack a little bit. We see the Emperor pushing this, like, fire...
Blue fire.
Fire yeah. thing to Kanan and... or Kanan. Oh, my gosh. Ezra and Ahsoka trying to catch them. And the animation of that fire was, mind-blowing. I mean...
Was it really animation?
Yeah, it looked like it would be, like... actual, like, this blue fire
scene. Yeah, it was awesome.
Fantastic. But, I mean, gosh, it was just so cool to see the Emperor.
What did you think, Nate?
It was... Some people may think it was forced, but I think it was just perfect for him to be in there, because you don't really see many huge bad guys. Like, huge bad guys.
I mean, we saw Maul and Vader.
Yeah, but that Maul was a significant character. Vader was in one episode with it. But the Emperor is the most powerful figure in the entire galaxy at this point.
Yeah.
And he's in this scene. So it's amazing. Yeah, a lot of fun. All right, let's go to number four, if I can get my screen to work here. All right, the daring rescue. The Ghost Crew may be the very best when it comes to daring and unpredictable rescues. Why stop at a firefight when you can literally upend a mobile tactical unit and have the person you're trying to rescue slide down and out before it tips all the way over? That was kind of cool. Ad Chopper's maniacal glee at the controls of the drill and all of them barely making it out alive before the whole site collapses. And you've got a really fantastic moment. What did you think about the rescue, BB Nate?
It was just kind of humorous more than anything.
I mean, it is a kid's show, so...
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but for the most part, it's driving me a kid.
It was kind of more funny. I think they're trying to add a little light in the really, really dark episode. Some
comedic.
Yeah, a little bit of comedic value, because it was getting pretty intense with the Ezra and the Emperor and Ahsoka stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a heavy episode when it comes to that.
It was talking about how, like, the Ghost Crew's best at daring rescues. I'm not sure that's a compliment, because that means they get caught a lot.
Yeah. If you're good at if you're good at coming up with creative ways to rescue each other, then that means that you're getting captured alive. So, which is sort of the whole plot.
It's like
line.
A backhanded.
It's the whole plot line of Star Wars.
That's Rebels. True.
So anyway, all right. Number five: closing the gateway and saying goodbye. The Mortis Mural and all of the different animation and permutations. That's a big word.
Another one of them.
Yep. It went through. Okay, I got to start all over because I lost my train of thought. The Mortis Mural and all of the different animations and permutations it went through would be a moment in themselves if I had a longer list. But the last sequence when Ezra presses his fist to the sun's fist and the gateway closes is especially amazing.
Dude, they did a fist bump.
They did a fist bump. A force fist bump, yeah. To see the mural change and the gateway close, it was truly something special. Kanan's will sent Ezra to the Jedi Temple to close a door opened long ago. What?
Oops.
With the temple safe and Ezra on his path, Kanan has moved on and we bid him goodbye.
No.
All right, let's talk about the goodbye moment between Ezra and Hera and Kanan. Thoughts on any of that, Samuel, BB Nate?
Sad.
Yeah, it was sad. Kanan's gone.
Yeah.
Bye, Freddie Prinze Jr.
So much for that. Hey, it's nice knowing you. You're out of a job.
It was good.
It was good.
Well
done, I think.
But that one sentence that we just read, that's kind of bizarre.
I don't get it.
Kanan's will sent Ezra to the Jedi Temple to close a door opened long ago. Samuel the Hutt, I think you've got this figured out. What door are they talking about that was opened long ago?
I'm guessing it's the portal.
Well, I think it has to do with the Mortis arc from season 3 of Rebels.
Oh, yeah. It was probably
the balance that was set. It was the imbalance that was created in those Mortis arc episodes from Rebels or from Clone Wars season 3. Those seem to have been balanced at this point.
Yeah.
And when you see the way that the mural changes again. So What happened in the previous episode was that the daughter sent Ezra into the portal on the mural. And then as Ezra closes the portal in this one with the force fist bump that we talked about a second ago, suddenly the demeanor of Mortis' son changes. He's been proud. He was sort of arrogant in the mural. And now he's bowing his head in submission to the father, along with the daughter doing the same thing. And then the father takes his hands and he spreads them out and he looks like a giant scale where everything is exactly balanced again. And if you remember the Mortis arc from season 3, the whole ending of that was everything was out of balance and that was the way that it was left. Now with Ahsoka and Ezra and this episode here, it seems that balance has been struck again. What do you think that means for the future of our rebels?
No clue.
I think that we're going to start seeing that the tide has turned against the Empire and that the Rebel Alliance will start having victories against them and eventually overcome the Emperor. Wait, we know that happens.
Wait, what?
So,
spoilers!
I think Dave Filoni is retconning here a little bit, but that's okay. So, yeah, retroactive continuity. Going back and changing things in order to make continuity fit. So anyway, well, we spent the last 35 minutes talking about Rebels, which is fine because I don't think these other two topics are going to take quite as long. But anything else you guys want to say about Rebels?
It's awesome.
Oh, here's something I want to say about Rebels. If you're listening to this and it is before Tuesday evening, we do not have cable or satellite.
Boo.
And so we cannot watch these live. And even if we could, it's like 9 o'clock at night. And so we're just not going to watch it. It is Rebels. We're not watching it. So we're going to watch it. Just like we did last week, we've had about 500 views of our reaction video on YouTube. We did a live stream reaction of us watching these two episodes we just talked about, watching those live, and 500 or so people have viewed those already. We're going to do that again. You're welcome to join us. We've got others that are Patreon supporters and other supporters of our podcast that are going to wait to watch the final two episodes of Star Wars Rebels, or three episodes of Star Wars Rebels, in order to watch them live. Watch me, watch you. Anyway, they're going to watch us watch those episodes, and they're going to watch those episodes with us. So we're going to have a big Google Hangout going on. You can see us on our Facebook page, Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S. You should find that on there. Twitter will be putting that out there as well. On our podcast page, you can see that. And you guys are welcome to join us. It'd be awesome with that. All right, so let's move on to the next topic. What is the next topic?
Good question.
Ah, Dave Filoni said something this last week that is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so Dave Filoni teased a new animated series, and the major consensus, I guess you could say, for the Star Wars community is that it's a new animated series. In fact, our poll kind of alluded to that. So, BB Nate, what do you think? Do you think that this teased animated series could be related to Star Wars Resistance?
It could be, but I mean, it kind of makes sense if they did, because they went prequel, original, and then they could go to sequel.
Yeah, so the first animated series in the new canon, which was actually before there was a new canon, but anyway, most of it was the Clone Wars. And so it was sort of an animated series built around the battles and things like that of the prequel era. And then this episode, obviously Star Wars Rebels, is about the battles and everything that surrounds the forming of the Rebel Alliance, which leads us into the original trilogy sequence.
Right.
So then if they've trademarked, which they did, they trademarked the phrase Star Wars Resistance, wouldn't it make sense that if Dave Filoni says the announcement of a new animated series is coming very soon, and we've just found out that Star Wars Resistance has been trademarked, wouldn't it make sense to make the next animated series be about the battles and the formation of the Resistance? I predict it's going to take place between the events of the Bloodlines novel and The Force Awakens. What do you think about that, Samuel Hutt?
That would be quite interesting. I have a question to ask you. Do you think it will be focused around characters that we've already seen, such as Poe and Leia, or do you think they will introduce new characters such as a ghost crew, but for the Resistance? Or Do you think we will see even older characters?
What do you mean by older characters?
I don't know. Maybe Sabine, Zeb, Ahsoka.
Wow. He just went right to the jugular on that one, didn't he, BB Nate?
Yeah.
All right. He's got someone sent us a theory. Again, I'm terrible about noting these things when they come in the middle of the week. I'm sorry. But anyway, someone on social media, when you have, you know, so much going on right now with Twitter and Facebook, it's hard to keep track of it all. But someone sent us an idea that maybe we're going to see Ezra and Ahsoka and Zeb and Sabine move to the outer regions or the unknown regions in the next episode, and they will be who the Resistance episodes or the series is built off of, but in the New Republic era as the First Order is forming in the outer regions, unknown regions, and that kind of thing. So that's the theory that's out there. What do you think about that idea, BB Nate?
It makes sense.
It makes sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Would
you like that?
Yes, I would like that very much, because we get to see characters that we loved in Star Wars Rebels again as an adult.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that you're going to have a whole new crew.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, you're going to have a whole new crew. Because they didn't do that with Rebels. They didn't bring people from Clone Wars.
But they did bring people from the Clone Wars into the Rebels. You have Rex. Yeah. You have Ahsoka.
I think they're going to do that with the Resistance, but not these main the central characters. There'll be more of these secondary support characters, mm-hmm. which I would love, but I don't think they're going to base it all around them. It seems too, like, repetitive.
So let's talk a little bit about my idea. I don't think I've had anybody else mention this. Whoops, moved my chair. My idea is that like I said a minute ago, it takes place between Bloodlines and The Force Awakens. That's a big, monumental, not as far as years go, it's only like 5 years.
Yeah.
But it's a period of time where tremendous changes take place that we don't know anything about. Because at the end of Bloodlines, the First Order is just forming. Well, it's been formed, but it's just being exposed.
Right.
To Leia. And Leia has been outed to the galaxy as being the daughter of Darth Vader, and Luke is as well. And Ben is still with Luke. And none of those sequences that we saw in The Last Jedi have taken place. All of this stuff starting... Well, here's what happens between Bloodlines and the First Order. Or the Force Awakens. Snoke comes on the scene. Ben goes dark. The Resistance fully forms.
Yeah.
The First Order begins to really take control of the galaxy.
Yeah.
With it. All of these things have happened in between that time, and we don't know any of that story yet. If the Resistance... Now, Rebels was the forming of the Rebel Alliance. Could it be that Resistance is the forming of the Resistance? And this is where we get Snoke's backstory. This is where we get... So what you do is you have a crew, you have a group, some type of a small family, like in the Rebels episodes, that are part of the founding of the Resistance... that's going on. And because you've got this storyline centering around these new characters, but Leia is engaged in it, Snoke's backstory gets brought into it. Kylo's fall gets brought into it. Luke's disappearance gets brought into it. All of this takes place in that period of time. Do you think you could get excited about that storyline, BB Nate?
I could. I would get really excited because I would get to see the forming of the Resistance. And we really enjoyed the forming of the Rebels.
It was really neat. Some of the things that happened in that, we didn't have any idea. So it was a lot of fun. What do you think about that, Samuel?
We just watched it because it's Star Wars, probably.
Well, we'd watch it because of that. But yeah, the idea... But, yeah.
No, I'm definitely excited for it. Absolutely. You know, I would love to... I mean, obviously, everyone wants to know Snoke's backstory. I'd like to see that. We sort of know about Kylo's fall, but to see more of the... precursors to that would be interesting. Has the Poe Dameron comics?
Oh yeah, I didn't even mention him. Poe. We get to learn about Poe. We get to learn about Lor San Tekka.
Yeah. Have they introduced how Poe and Leia met in the comics?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm sure they have. Yeah, so but Holdo could be in these. Yeah. We could see Holdo. a lot of these characters that we don't really know their backstories a lot can be brought into this series, and we can learn a lot about that. And they can fill in that gap as to how Snoke came to power, how the First Order came into existence.
DJ is.
Nobody cares. Anyway, Nathan, you talked about the rebellion that started anew. This is why, Nathan, you're on our chat here on Spreaker. Not BB Nate. Nathan Allen on our chat. Thanks for joining us live on this episode. Here's what I think. I don't think that this will be about the resistance after the events of The Last Jedi, because I don't think that they're the resistance anymore. The rebellion has been born anew. It's just what you said on there. I believe that that's the way that it's going to go forward. I think the resistance is over as of The Last Jedi. The rebellion has to be born anew because the First Order is now in full control. There's no resisting the First Order anymore. The First Order has won at the end of The Last Jedi with that. So Samuel's got, or BB Nate's got a big idea. Hey, Uncle Odie! What's up? All right. Anyway. Okay. Talk to us. Tweet us. Put us comment on Facebook as well. What do you think? Do you like the idea of us getting all the backstory with Snoke and Poe and Laura Santeca and Ben turning into Kylo and Luke going off to Octu and all of those things that are going on? Do you like the idea of that being the central idea or subject matter of the new animated series that's going to be announced soon, which we think is Star Wars Resistance? Comment on the posts there. All right, we've got one more topic before we close off today. Who's going to announce this one? No, that's just me. Oh, well, that makes sense that this would be me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, Avengers Infinity War was moved from May 4th to April 27th. It was moved up a week, which is cool. We're not an Avengers Marvel podcast, but that opens up the door to something that's being speculated. Now, most people are just sort of blowing this off as not a possibility, but Leland Shi, who's the Holocron Keeper for Lucasfilm Story Group, within moments of the announcement that Infinity War was being moved off of May 4th, tweeted out the phrase, "May the 4th be with us." So the speculation could be that Disney and Lucasfilm is so confident in Han Solo's movie, the Solo A Star Wars Story movie, that they are going to move from May 25th to May 4th, May the 4th be with you day, Star Wars Day.
Of Avengers
a week following Infinity War. That would take some real guts. What do you think about that, BB Nate? You think it's going to happen?
That does take some real guts, from firing the directors.
Yeah, can you imagine? Just like 9 months ago, we were talking about them firing the directors of this movie.
And now we're talking about them moving it up because they're so confident.
And just they must have a lot of confidence in Ron Howard if they do that.
Yeah.
And just by the trailer, we're like super excited for it. But what made us kind of worried
was the lack of a trailer for so long.
Yeah, for so long without any type of marketing at all. We didn't even have a poster until a few weeks ago.
And the bad thing is, Ron Howard isn't releasing how much of reshooting, how much of the movie
he did. I thought they said that he basically reshot everything.
But he's not releasing how much he did.
Exactly.
Yeah, but speculation has been pretty significant that he reshot just about the whole movie, especially when they had to reshoot so much of it that an actor that was in the original shoots of it, the original scenes of it, had to be replaced by Paul Bettany because Paul Bettany, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but anyway, he had to be replaced by him because they were going to reshoot all those scenes. So he got knocked out of the movie. Oh,
poor dude.
Yeah.
The only time he's going to be able to be in a Star Wars movie.
Well, maybe they'll bring him into a new movie. So,
yeah.
What do you think about this? Do you think they're going to move it to May 4th, Sam?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough because that's a lot to move it up. Like that's a lot of time to move it forward, you know? Also, that messes up my whole birthday plan thing because my birthday is on the 24th and they show movies a day early. So that messes that up.
Yeah, but your birthday party is actually Solo A Star Wars Story right now.
That's so true. It won't change.
We'll just have to see it for like the 12th time.
That's true.
Or maybe for
the 24th. Or we could still do it on the 4th. Anyway.
for the 24th time, watch it.
Ah.
Oh, we're going to go over an hour today, guys. All right. Here's what I think. I don't think they're going to change it. I think that May 25th is a significant date in Star Wars history. It is the date that Star Wars A New Hope, the original Star Wars movie, was released. I don't think they're going to change it. This is what I'm predicting. Here's one of my predictions sure to go wrong.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I predict that May 4th will be the date that Disney Lucasfilm announces the new TV series on Star Wars. No, not that it's coming out that date.
No.
They'll make the announcement of the new series on that date. Disney was like, let's move up Avengers. Let's make May the 4th all about Star Wars this year. And they can announce the new animated series. And that way the Star Wars day. And Lucasfilm Story Group can say things like, May the 4th be with us. What do you guys think about that?
I thought that they were going to release a trailer. Or at least announce it in the series finale of Star Wars.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to let Star Wars Rebels be all about Rebels. They want everybody talking about the close of Rebels, not the new series.
So. Right.
All right, that is the show for the day. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
Anything else?
Not really.
No, I'm good.
Well, I'm going to give you some ideas of things to talk about. Sam, we'll talk about what we're doing this Thursday, March 8th. Go for it.
We're going to see Mark Hamill finally get his star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood.
Balance will return to the Force as... Nathan wants Kenobi. Nathan Allen on our chat wants Kenobi. So we're going to go see them award Mark Hamill his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Fine.
That'll be fun. We're going to be there. We're going to have a bunch of Make Turbis Canon stickers.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking pictures with anybody that will let us take a picture. If they've got Instagram, we're going to find them. And we're going to ask them to take a picture holding a sticker, a Make Turbis Canon sticker, and put that hashtag out so you can get it trending on Instagram that day. Maybe we can even see the maker and Han Solo himself, who are going to be there, George Lucas and Harrison Ford.
Well,
would you
not
be pretty
Mark Hamill?
Well, Mark Hamill's going to be there. We know that. But maybe we can actually meet all three of them. What if we could get like, all right, here's like the ultimate dream scenario. And we've learned over the past month or two that sometimes dream scenarios when it comes to Star Wars do come true, like what happened with Rian Johnson.
A little rare, but
let's see if we can catch lightning in a bottle a second time. We are going to see if we can bring our posters and get Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and the Maker to sign our Last Jedi posters. If we do, you may never hear from us again because our heads will explode. So,
yeah.
That will be fun. But we're going to try it and let's see if we can get pictures with them as well.
That wasn't the new message.
All right. And then I guess the other thing that I would... mention is Tatooine Suns HoloNet.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that, baby Nate. What is Tatooine Suns HoloNet?
A three-minute show, a daily three-minute show that just gives you a quick briefing of the Star Wars news and the this day in Star Wars history from the Star Wars app.
Any spoilers in that?
No.
Any commentary and discussion on that?
No.
Straight up Star Wars news. If you want to wake up and listen to all your Star Wars news while brushing your teeth... in the morning. Here's a beautiful thing. So we are here for you. It's a public service announcement. It takes about 3 minutes to listen to Tatooine Suns HoloNet. So if you start Tatooine Suns HoloNet, and then when you get to the point where Sam does his little talk about our main podcast, you can spit and rinse and start brushing again and then finish, and you will have great dental hygiene and your Star Wars news for the day. Isn't this amazing?
What?
We're here for you, Star Wars fans. So... all right, our poll for next week. Do you think that Disney Lucasfilm will be moving Solo to May 4th? That will be... oh, sorry. Forgot my sound effect. Do you think that Solo, a Star Wars story, will be moved up from May 25th to May 4th? That would be our podcast poll of the week. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.